As most New Yorkers are just beginning their day.
Oh, what a way to end the day. We're looking for a fella that's wanted for connection with the rape.
NYPD Detective Sergeant Wally Zines.
I'm leaving a uniformed cop at the door to secure it for a search warrant.
Is usually ending his night shift.
It's almost 7:30, half hour to the end. And hopefully, we'll be quiet, get some sleep.
But at 7:51 on October 19th,
police operator with emergency.
Detective Zines is about to start working overtime.
There's a shotgun! Hurry up! He's coming to get the girl!
I receive a call from our citywide duty captain, and he said, why don't you start to roll?
Operator, there's a lady outside my door. She's in trouble. The lady's shot. She's bleeding.
Wally rushes to the scene in residential Queens. So does our 48 Hours crew, which has been granted unprecedented access by the NYPD.
Guys, please with me, boss.
An extraordinary life and death drama is about to unfold before your eyes.
Where's the guy with the gun?
He went back in the house. He hasn't come out yet.
There was a male who shot three people and barricaded himself in the house with hostages.
This is a job for the NYPD's hostage negotiation team. And Wally is one of 100 detectives specially trained as negotiators.
Possible man with a shotgun inside the house.
Police believe the suspect is holding four hostages. And worst of all,
there's a little baby in there. The baby's not even a year old.
One of them is an infant. The shooter's four-month-old daughter.
Does anybody have a visual on anybody?
Within minutes, police tactical units have the house surrounded.
Someone's in the window, far right window. Keep everybody down.
But they won't make a move until they hear from this man.
Inspector, you in here?
Lieutenant Jack Cambria, the head of the hostage negotiation team.
Well, what's your greatest fear right now, greatest concern?
Well, we're concerned that he's going to hurt some of the hostages or even himself.
Jack thinks his team can prevent that. The first order of business, make phone contact.
We started to establish a temporary headquarters for the hostage team. Inside that van, we have a crisis phone, and we set that whole thing in motion.
Now, Lieutenant Cambria decides who will do the talking. He turns to his old friend, Wally Zines.
But he doesn't even realize it.
Yeah. Wally is one of my most senior negotiators, my most experienced negotiator. So Wally was the man.
Are we ready?
We didn't have any other information except the person's first name, Jared.
Dial tone. Here we go. Tape is rolling. Bring it.
Hello? Jared, it's Wally.
We got on a first-name basis. He calls me Wally and I call him Jared. Then we're starting, you know that there's some contact being made.
Police learn the shooter is 23-year-old Jared Jordan.
He just got out 2 weeks ago to Rikers Island. He was there for breaking into Diane's house. His girlfriend.
Jared has a long history of abusing his ex-girlfriend, Diane, mother of their baby girl, Cheyenne. This morning, he came to the house with a shotgun to confront her. And exploded.
He found the house full of people, the infant, but not Diane, the mother of the baby. This enraged him to the point that he shot three people.
Don't try to fight, man, because right now y'all making me feel etchy, because I got my daughter in my hands, man.
Lieutenant Cambria and Sergeant Zines,
if you say the wrong thing, it can end right there.
Share a passion for this high-pressure job.
I don't want to open this door.
You don't have to open the door.
Though personally, they are as different as day and night.
What drives Wally Zines?
The excitement.
Night Watch Sergeant Central.
What sergeant?
It was 34th Central.
Wally Zines is an extrovert.
Look at this. The prettiest ladies in Manhattan. Nothing is like New York. It's so unpredictable. It's like an adrenaline rush.
Show Night Watch responding to that fire. We don't know anything about what happened, how it started. I see more of you than I see of my wife.
By day, he's a 56-year-old family man with three children.
Is this a barricade?
Sergeant out here.
But after midnight...
They call me Prince of the City. because of the, such a big territory.
He commands the detective unit, which covers all of Manhattan.
Hello, boys. All right, what do we have?
Slash in the hand with a bottle.
It's a ringside seat to the greatest show on earth, and it doesn't cost you a dime.
This is the front row seat.
Welcome to the orchestra.
What's the most difficult part of this job?
Seeing cases with young children.
Children?
It's a very tough thing, especially when you have your own. You immediately bring your children into it. You know, you put them, you replace them with yours.
I got my daughter in my ears, man.
For nearly an hour since they began talking, Wally has been struggling to calm down the agitated and desperate Jared Jordan.
What's going on, man? Y'all trying to run in here or what, man?
If you're going to learn to trust me.
To start winning his trust, Wally agrees to Jared's first demand.
Just get them people from inside out, man. They're making me nervous.
He tells the tactical unit to pull back.
We've done everything you've asked for. Everything. Everything.
All right, just stay away from the house.
I have my people away.
Now, Wally wants something in return.
How about give me one person?
I can't do that right now.
Oh, man. You got to give me one.
Oftentimes, going into negotiations looking for a quick resolve is usually a mistake.
We just stopped negotiations for a little while.
Lieutenant Jack Cambria is by nature a patient man. And in this job, that's a big plus.
Time is on our side, and we'll talk as long as it takes.
48 and a father of two, he's the only full-time member of the hostage team.
Hostage team, Lieutenant Cambria, may I help you?
Jack's father was a longshoreman.
He spent about 40 years down at the waterfront. He just wanted me to have, as he saw it, better.
So Jack pursued his dream, joining the NYPD.
I remember always respecting police officers as a youngster, and I thought I'd like to be like those guys, you know.
Jack spent 16 years on the force with the Emergency Services Unit, the ESU.
Get down on the ground! Put your head on the ground!
They provide the heavy weaponry while the negotiators talk.
Sergeant Cambria, you, Jack, they're not going to talk to him for a while.
Yeah. And over those 16 years, I've developed a tremendous rapport with all of the personnel within that unit. They knew who I am. I know who they are.
4 years ago, Jack brought his quiet, methodical style to the leadership of the hostage team. He often does the negotiating himself.
What we seek to do is empower these individuals to resolve it themselves and save face and come out with dignity and respect.
Jack's team handles everything from bridge jumpers to botched bank robberies to hijackings. But as Jack trains his negotiators,
coach.
He focuses on the situation they face most frequently.
Yeah, I'm here.
Dealing with the emotionally disturbed.
This is the most important part of the training.
Clear the door.
Okay. They're better able to deal and understand the individuals they may be speaking with from behind the door.
Do you have a baby in there with you now?
I have the heavenly baby.
I think perhaps there's nothing more emotional than cases with children.
I know about you. I know about the tricks.
Anthony,
I don't want to talk to you.
You got to get into his heart, into his soul, and try to connect with that. All right, right now, we're kind of at an impasse.
This morning in Queens, another impasse.
Just hold on right now, man. You're moving too fast.
But this time, the baby is real.
I got a baby.
Now the two friends, Jack Cambria and Wally Zines, are being pushed to their limits as they struggle to get everyone out of this house alive.
Because I got my daughter in my ears, man. I don't have no more time after this, man. I need my little bit of time that I have now.
Seeing cases with young children, you never get used to it.
It's been 2 hours since this Queens neighborhood awoke to the sound of shotgun blasts. Three people seriously wounded have been rushed to the hospital.
It's crazy, look at this.
like Lebanon.
More than 60 New York City police officers have swarmed onto the scene.
They have somebody in the house. Some people say they're little kids.
Somebody's holding them hostage.
I'm standing inside police lines. The armed suspect is just a half a block away. The tactical team is on the ready. The negotiators are in that truck.
What we want to do is, why don't you give me at least one person out of there? I don't want to say
do that.
Yes, you can.
Not right now.
You can. No, you.
Early this morning, Detective Sergeant Wally Zines.
Don't you think that I'm being 100% with you?
And Lieutenant Jack Cambria.
It's important that we work together.
We're each about to start enjoying a quiet family weekend.
And I'm concerned here, and I guarantee your safety. Not tell you that you're going to be safe. I guarantee your safety.
Now they're trying to save the lives of a baby and three other hostages.
Gregory!
Held in this house by the baby's father, Jarrett Jordan.
What's going through my head is, if I can get one person out, hopefully I'm going to get everyone else out.
Could you give me one? Just one.
I mean, I need these people, though, because if y'all make some funny movements, man, I'm after, you know what I'm saying?
Those hostages are his protection. He knows that as long as he has hostages, in all probability, the police will not come in.
Jack decides it's time to take a risk. Detectives have tracked down Jarrett's best friend, Brian Howard.
You know what's going on in there?
Jack is going to break one of his own rules and put Brian directly on the phone with Jarrett.
Traditionally, I tend not to want to use non-police personnel to negotiate. And the reason being, it's an unknown factor that we're introducing.
Yeah, I'm going to let you talk to him right now. Hold on.
What I am hoping is that he will strike a chord within Jarrett, because they've been best friends for many, many years.
Yo, man. Yo, you're wilding, man. I don't even know what's going on with this, man.
That is going down.
Listen, how can I get you out of there?
I'm not coming out of here.
Why?
I write a note to Brian to tell him give up one person. Tell him that he can trust Wally.
I know how you feel, man. You know what I'm saying? But you gotta trust this cat, Wally, man.
Wally has to wait, man.
Brian can't get Jarrett to budge.
At least give him one person.
Nah.
But their conversation does yield some alarming information.
If anything, the daughter, man. Cheyenne.
Chill. I'm trying to spend my last time with her, son. Come on, man. You know this is a rap after this. I just want to scream on Diane one last time. You know what I'm saying?
You use this phrase, I'd like to scream at her
one last time. Yes, correct.
That makes me think that can turn around and say, well, you see what you made me do, and boom. Either take his life, take the life of the child, then the other hostages in the house.
Yet it's this demand.
Where's Diane at?
To talk to his ex-girlfriend.
Where's Diane?
That Jarrett comes back to again and again.
If I don't talk to her, I'm out. It's gonna be some problems, man.
Wally has to tread very carefully now.
Where's Diane at?
I can't find Diane.
Because, in fact, police have found Diane. She's just down the street, waiting in a police car, terrified for her baby, Cheyenne.
What thoughts were going through your mind as you're sitting there and the clock is ticking and ticking and ticking?
Well, I thought about Cheyenne and I was just, didn't know. I just was lost.
The hostage team fears that putting Diane on the phone could be a fatal move for everyone in the house.
Have you talked to Diane yet?
She's not here.
So Wally changes gears.
I want to tell you something. The bottom line to this whole thing is your daughter. She's blood.
To build a rapport with Jarrett, Wally reveals something of himself.
You know, I have little children too, just like you have, Cheyenne.
I learned about bonding a long time ago.
I want to tell you how important a child is to a parent.
My son was prematurely born. And he spent 42 days in an incubator.
A child is so important to a parent that you watch that child, you live with that child, you stay with that child. That child's an extension of you.
And I believe a lot of the bonding that my wife and I did with our son kept him alive and made him the person that he is today.
You need to spend that quality time, because the more you look and the more you spend with a child, the more you understand how important life is with that baby.
When you look at your own child that you made, you may change your mind on certain things.
You know what?
While Wally does the talking,
we gotta work together.
Jack acts as his coach.
Jack listens and he'll be writing down thoughts.
I had gathered some information about his dad.
You know, your dad, Earl, is very upset. I was just talking to him before when you were talking with Brian. And you know, your dad loves you. You know,
you're trying to do everything in your power to get him to understand he has a reason to live. People care about him.
That's correct.
And there's another person that loves you.
If you're not going to think about yourself, think about all the people that love you.
Earl is here. Earl loves you. Brian is with me. We're here together.
But it sounds like Jared has his own frightening agenda.
And listen. I don't know how to tell you this. I'm not going to be walking out this house. All right?
Sounds like he's going to take his own life. Or he can decide to take the whole place out and then himself.
You know what?
So Wally has to keep trying.
I'm going to help you walk out of this house. I'm going to help you come out with a smile on your face.
I wanted that baby to see the next day.
But if he doesn't make progress soon,
what's going on there?
There's nothing going on.
It's going to be up to the men with the machine guns.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A standoff in Queens as police try to get to a gunman.
What do you know about the family? Do you know who's in the house?
A 23-year-old man is holding four other people, including a four-month-old baby, at gunpoint currently. Earlier, he allegedly shot three victims in front of the home. Emergency services and the hostage negotiation team are on the scene.
3 hours after the incident began, Detective Sergeant Wally Zines still hasn't persuaded Jared Jordan to release a single hostage.
How are the people in the basement? Are they still down there, or are they upstairs with you?
Besides his baby daughter, Jared says he's holding two men and one woman.
I got two of them upstairs with me and one downstairs.
The good news, Jared is still talking.
Listen, I feel where you're coming from and everything, but you gotta understand where I'm coming from right now.
Time is everything.
We all care.
The longer you talk,
they love you. You know, I care about you.
The better chance of getting the hostages out.
But now, Wally's progress could unravel.
Yeah, this battery is going down. Let me recharge it for 15 minutes.
All because of one dying telephone battery.
Your phone's going dead. You want to exchange? Let me tell you something.
Reluctantly, the team has to take a break while Jarrett charges his phone.
If we keep getting an interruption, it takes the whole train of thought out of what we're trying to get across to him.
The hostage team's technician, Stu Goldstein, proposes a solution.
We're going to use a throw phone off the 100-foot reel.
The team wants to hand Jarrett a special phone directly wired to the truck.
A phone that he can talk to, that we have a direct line that can't get interrupted.
This will also prevent any outside callers from telling Jarrett anything the police don't want him to hear.
Jack, give me an update, man?
Yes.
Before Wally tries to make contact again, Jack Cambria's superior officer wants a progress report.
He told Brian, his friend, that he just wants to yell at Diane one more time. That's what he wants to do. So.
Chief Esposito agrees.
We don't want her to talk to him.
If they allow Jarrett to talk to his ex-girlfriend Diane, the results could be disastrous.
It's a last resort. I'll make that call. Nobody makes that call unless you talk to me first.
But he's willing to give Jack and his team more time for now.
It's going to be a long, day, all right?
A lot is riding on the credibility Wally has established with Jarrett.
What's your name? You want to go negotiate?
Scotty made
up. Why is this issue of credibility so important with the negotiators?
Because that's what we base our success on. You can be honest with someone for 5 hours during the negotiation process, and if you get caught up in one lie, then those 5 hours have just gone down the drain.
But that's just what could happen. If Jared turns on the news.
Well, he just got out of jail.
What was he in jail for?
Violent. Beating her itself.
Beating your daughter?
Yeah.
Diane's father is telling the press exactly what the police have been hiding from Jarrett.
Where's your daughter now?
In the car. With the cops.
Dialing up again.
10-4.
Hey, Jared, it's Wally.
Yeah, you got Diane?
I'm still looking, but here's what I want to tell you.
Well, somebody just called me and told me the police is talking to her.
Talking to Diane? Someone says, yeah. Who's talking to Diane?
Listen, I know she's friends.
She's not here.
Listen.
I'm listening.
Wally has to think fast now to avoid being caught in a lie.
First of all, if she was there, here with me, I would have her talk.
Hoping to avert disaster, Wally tries to get Jarrett to switch the subject and to switch phones.
And I worry about your battery on your phone. I have a phone for you.
Listen, I don't want none from you.
But Jarrett suddenly has urgent questions of his own.
Why are people trying to come in the house?
Yeah, there's no one trying to come in the house.
I hear them right now, man.
You may hear people trying out there. It's none of my people. I have control of all
the people.
I have control of all the people. Maybe it's the people that are in the house with you that are walking around. You
know what? I'm looking there. I'm walking around.
Yeah, John, if you can just stop there for a little bit. He's getting a little excited and concerned about the noise that you might be making.
And now,
what's going on out there, man?
Jarrett wants to know about the people he shot this morning.
What happened to the people I shot?
They're still being worked on. They're not dead.
All three were rushed to the hospital. One of them, Dorothy Hicks, is Diane's mother.
It looks like, let me just stick my head out because no one's in here, all right? Give me 1 second. Can anyone open it? Let me get over to the door. Can anyone tell me how those guys are in the hospital?
Yeah, they're stable.
They're okay.
Damn.
Why are you upset?
When I told him they're still alive, he got a little upset.
He wanted them dead.
Just a lot of blood. Listen, that's okay. That's good in your defense.
How is that?
We were trying to convince Jarrett it's not an absolute that you're going to be spending the rest of your life in jail.
Because A, you didn't kill him. Secondly, it's only going to be an assault.
However, Jarrett was not a stupid man.
Listen, I got 3 felonies already, man.
He knew what the deal was. He wasn't buying it for a minute.
Let me help you. When you're ready to come out, when you're ready to do this, let me help you. I'm here for you. All right?
Listen, I just want to talk to Diane, man.
Okay, let me just get the status and see what's going on, all right, pal?
All right.
Later. Hey, listen, before I go, you want any Chinese food or anything?
No, I'm all right.
Okay, bye. Chinese food? Oh, I'm getting hungry.
Well, I think when Wally asked about the Chinese food was that he was getting hungry.
Okay. If we can do it, let's do it.
Let's do it now. Okay.
You have to lighten up. It's a very tense situation. You got to take a walk sometimes. You got to get out of there. Change gears. Call your family.
That's all right. He has to fix the lawn. All right? He has to fix a hole in the lawn.
That was my 12-year-old son.
Yeah, they took that after the winter.
I was supposed to be home to take care of the children. And I was trying to tell him I'll be home soon and everything's all right.
In spite of all the intense negotiations you're doing, you still remember to call home to say, I haven't forgotten about you.
I love you.
Listen, I love you. All right? I'll be home as soon as I finish.
To get that baby out, we have to agree on something.
By noon, Chief Esposito is eager to get things moving. He's especially concerned about Cheyenne.
Let's work on getting that paper.
Make it work, brother.
The negotiators go back to work.
Tape is rolling.
Hello?
Hey, it's Wally. How are you?
And finally...
I'm just trying to get some things together in my head, man.
It looks like their patience is going to pay off.
Yeah, I'm going to just listen. This is what I'm going to do, all right?
All right, let me hear your plan.
This is my plan right now.
Jarrett has a plan.
What I really just wanted to do is just spend this time with my daughter, you know?
Okay.
That's what I want right
now,
man.
Just over 4 hours into the hostage standoff.
I'm going to just listen. This is what I'm going to do, all right?
All right, let me hear your plan.
Jarrett, it appears at least, is starting to make peace with ending this scenario.
This is my plan right now. What time is it?
That time is now. Right now it's 10 after 12.
It's 10 after 12. I'm going to put my daughter to sleep and I'm going to let him and my daughter come out.
Okay. Who's going to bring the baby?
I was going to let the chick bring her.
Let the chick. You know, she knows kids. What is she wearing so I know what she looks like?
She got an orange shirt on and
What are these, blue or greenish looking jeans?
Orange. It's getting a little chilly outside. You got a sweater or something for the baby?
She got her wrapped up in a blanket.
Great. I'm glad to hear that. Because she sounds cute. She sounds like a real dog.
What's the matter?
I bet she looks just like you.
You know it.
I don't even see her, but I can see a little smile on her face looking right in you in the eyes and telling you, Daddy, I love you. Listen, call you back at 1. Bye, Bob.
It's the breakthrough the negotiating team has been waiting for.
The plan is 1 o'clock. He's going to wrap the baby up, give it to the female in there, and bring her out.
All right, everybody take 5.
But Jack Cambria and Wally Zines know there is still a lot that can go wrong.
Chief, I think maybe once he lets the baby and the woman out, you know, he might turn around and do these other people in there.
You mentioned that Jared might take out the other people. Why did you think that was a possibility?
Because he said to me that he's getting aggravated, and he says, I don't know if I like these people.
The first shot goes off, we're making it. I mean, it's not a decision I like, but it's a decision we have to go with. So hopefully the casualties will be as low as possible.
Okay.
That's all we can do. The least amount of confrontation as possible until we get her and that baby to safety.
Okay.
Because otherwise you're going to set them off.
You're right, boss.
All right?
Okay.
And you're saying on the inner perimeter, must have these on.
Right. If you don't wear that, you're not getting into the inner perimeter. Okay. And a helmet.
And a helmet.
Yeah. And a prayer.
1 o'clock. Okay. 1 o'clock.
It's 1 o'clock.
We'll start with the, how you doing, and so on, and then we're going to turn back to the plan. Try to hold to that.
Right now, it's like a surgeon. It going in on an like open heart surgery.
So walk out with the baby, walk towards the truck, behind the truck.
You want to make sure that you make the right incisions in the sense of having whoever is going to send the baby out with come out to our plan.
Let's start with that approach. Just a little bit.
All right.
Dialing in now.
Hey, close that door.
Close the door.
Hello?
Hey, Jared, it's Wally. How you feeling, buddy?
Yeah.
I like your plan. Your plan makes a lot of sense. Put the baby in the blanket in the arms of the woman and tell the woman just to walk out towards the rear of that truck that I have outside. And this...
Just call me back. I got to take care of something.
What do you got to do?
I got something to do. Just call me in 15 minutes.
15 minutes?
Jared tries to stall.
I can't. Let's make it 5.
But after 5 hours of negotiations, Wally is determined to hold him to the plan.
I can't. We made an agreement to do it now, man. Honestly, I can't find it.
Just call me back, all right?
I'll call you back in 5 minutes. Bye.
Off. It's extremely taxing on the emotions.
Sorry, it's not coming out yet. They're going to call back in 5 minutes.
We know we're dealing with human life, and we know that we have an awesome burden placed on our shoulders in order to get this all accomplished.
$3.
Hello?
Hey, babe. It's me, Wally.
Yeah, let me
start
calling. I'm going to call you back.
Listen to me.
I'll call you when I'm finished.
You can't call me.
Why?
Because I'm holding the line open. Just leave the phone down by the bed next to you. And this way.
Right.
And this way.
All right.
Jarrett puts the phone down. Wally listens and waits.
He's dressing the baby. He's still on the line.
This is a crucial point. You start to get nervous. And I'm wondering what's going on inside. Okay. He's getting the baby.
Just be ready in case. Once the baby comes out, we'll assess it real quickly. All right?
Hey, you know what the thing that concerns me right now? Pretty sure he's gonna let the baby and the woman out. He's not too happy with these people. He's positioning them. He's telling them, yeah, you're all right. I'll tell you, I felt my heart pounding. Mike can feel every beat.
p.m.
He might be coming to the door.
After nearly 6 hours,
the door's opening.
Everything the team has worked for comes down to this.
All right, team, this is the front team. The baby just came out with a lock key. The door closing up.
She's out.
All right, we got the baby.
We got a male came out with the baby. She's
supposed to be a female. We're checking him out.
The male came out with the baby.
But who is the person who brought out little Cheyenne Hicks?
Let's get some intelligence from that guy.
The hostage taker says he's going to send the baby out with the woman. That did not happen.
It was kind of liking it to getting a fastball when you're expecting a curveball.
Is he a real hostage or the hostage taker trying to escape?
One of our thoughts was Jared trying to disguise himself as a hostage.
My name is Alexander, James Alexander. I was being held hostage. I talked to him.
The man identifies himself as James Alexander.
I put the baby out, man. Oh, Lord.
Cheyenne is safe.
Now that baby can wake up the next day. That baby can have a first birthday.
It's a great relief, and it's a very warm feeling.
But police believe Cheyenne's father, Jarrett, is still holding two more hostages.
Jarrett, it's Wally. Come over to the phone, brother. You're a man of your word.
Jarrett.
And they're concerned that he stopped talking to Detective Sergeant Wally Zines.
Too quiet in there now.
Meanwhile, baby Cheyenne has been put in an ambulance.
The baby's fine. We're going to be taken to hospital for a check.
Now, James Alexander, the man Jarrett released with the baby, reveals some startling information.
Is there anybody else in there besides you and the baby?
That was it.
He's by himself.
He's by himself.
According to him, it was just him and the baby.
So what do you operate with? What do you do?
We're going to still assume that there are still other hostages inside.
Then Alexander drops a bombshell.
Tell me what's happening.
He shot himself up in here. I seen him. He took when he took it. I seen when they bring the baby out. Bullet went off. He had like a shotgun, a 2K shotgun.
The guy said that the perp whacked himself.
He said as he was running out with the baby, he goes, "Are you gonna be all right?" And then he heard the bang.
We would have heard something.
We would have heard it.
Lieutenant Jack Cambria is puzzled. How could they not have heard a shotgun blast?
Let me just see if I can call his name out.
What's going through your mind? You don't hear anything.
Jared, this is Wally.
You have this little intelligence from the hostage, James Alexander, that Jared shot himself.
I'm hoping to God that he didn't.
Wally is hoping, for Cheyenne's sake, that her father is okay.
Jared. This is Wally. Pick up the phone. I want to make sure that all is well.
Hey, Lieutenant Machico on here?
Jared, this is Wally.
John, do you still have the bullhorn over there?
Jared, pick up the phone. I want to make sure that you're okay, brother.
I need the canine to come up.
They call for a police dog trained to locate threats.
Canine's coming.
Come on, I want you to come out. Or at least let me know that you're okay. You have a long life ahead of you. You have a great life ahead of you.
We're sending a canine with an entry team in the front end, and everybody else is going to hold off.
They make an entry now.
Dog's in the apartment.
Inspector, we hear the dog in the apartment now. Copy?
This is it. We're going to know now.
Watch.
Anyone, canine, if you can hear me, this is where the cordless phone is. ESU, this is dog is barking. Hi, puppy. Dog is barking.
tell them the dog's in the room where the phone is.
The dog's barking means there's still at least one person inside.
We're going to pull the dog out. We're going to put the team in, all right?
Put the team inside.
All right, take a nice slope.
But with Wally getting no reply at all, the ESU team moves in cautiously.
All right, emergency, we're making entry.
We got a perp. We got one. We got one perp.
Is he alive or dead?
It looks possible. DOA in the living room. Still searching.
Hello?
He just hung up.
The standoff is finally over. After 6 hours, police discover that Jarrett never did have any other hostages. After spending the final moments of his troubled life with his 4-month-old daughter, Cheyenne, he turned the shotgun on himself.
My stomach dropped when I heard that he shot himself.
I feel bad about that guy.
Well,
Yeah, you do. Of course you do. Absolutely. You're speaking to the guy, and you hope to resolve it. Wally had just spent some 7 hours investing his heart and soul into keeping not only the baby and the other hostages alive, but Jared as well.
Where did he do it?
He's right in the living room. He sat on the floor.
Why didn't we get a shot? I don't know.
Put it on. Maybe he muffled it. He put it under his neck and he pulled the trigger. Shotgun's found between his legs. Guys, great job as always.
Thank you, boss.
Everybody was congratulating everybody, but you can sense the mood.
Thanks for your support.
That our hearts weren't really in that.
Wally Zines was the last person to hear Jarrett's voice, and it's echoing in his head.
I don't have no more time after this, man. I'm not going to be walking out this house.
This gets to you, doesn't it? I mean, it's tough.
Anybody.
It's
tough. You know, we're all human beings.
We have employed a good negotiation tactics. We have some of the best and most well-trained and experienced hostage negotiators in the country.
Later that day at the hospital,
she's gone.
Family members learned that Diane's mother, Dorothy, wounded by Jarrett that morning, has died.
Do you think he was trying to hurt you?
Yes, and he succeeded in doing that too.
3 days later, Diane buries her mother.
Earth to earth, ashes to ashes, and dust to dust.
Jack and Wally must deal with their own emotional burdens from that day.
It had a impact on all of us.
Jack remained stoic.
I try to stay detached in order to be objective about the job, about the situation.
While Wally does some soul searching.
Did I say the right thing? Did I do something wrong? We did have a success. We brought out little Cheyenne.
But the two veterans don't have time to dwell on the incident.
We have an individual on the train right now who's strapped with explosives. We're not exactly sure what he wants. We're going to try to find that out.
Jack gets busy training the next generation of negotiators.
Call me back in 1 minute and I'll give you my demands. Okay. 1 minute, 1 second.
1 second, I understand that.
You seek to make a difference. And I still had that same desire.
Now we'll just hang somewhere and wait for the next job to come in.
For Wally, he has some decisions to make.
It's Friday night. Let the games begin.
Wally doesn't want to chase any more shadows in the New York night.
Night Watch, Sergeant Central.
Watch, Sergeant.
Give me an update on 4, 6, and 8.
In June, he made the call, deciding to retire. He knew it would be hard.
I'll always be sad. Ride off into the sunset and they'll say, who is that masked man?
Less than an hour after the hostage standoff ended, dozens of police gathered near the site for an informal review, a kind of post-game analysis. They talked about what worked and what didn't. Police determined that their mobile command center, the truck, wasn't in the best location at the start. It could have become a target. On the negotiating side, police felt they handled things about as well as could be expected. While every police hostage negotiator in New York City is issued a detailed manual on how to negotiate, they also know you can't always go by the book. ¶¶